Well, just when things were starting to look a little brighter, the return to stay-at-home restrictions for Melbourne will slow the pace of the economic recovery this year. It's also increased the pressure on the federal government to continue propping up wages for workers in struggling sectors, at least until the end of the year. Our senior business correspondent, Cheryl Bagwell, joins us. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
Cheryl, will the six-week lockdown in Melbourne be a big drag on growth this year?
Look, on its own, probably not. Treasury estimates that the six-week shutdown in Melbourne will cost the economy around $6 billion over that period, or around 1% of GDP. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it's not it's not a disaster for the recovery. It'll just shave off growth in the September quarter. But, I mean, that's if we end it there. The big worry is if the lockdown in Melbourne goes beyond mid-August, or if the outbreak spreads across the country, resulting in the reimposition of lockdown measures elsewhere, then we could see growth actually contract this quarter, the September quarter, rather than rebound, which was the expectation before the Victorian surge in cases. Now, that would make it three quarters in a row of contraction. In other words, a deeper recession with more business failures, more jobs lost. This surge in cases in Victoria, and now this cluster around a pub in Sydney, is already likely to have hit consumer confidence. I mean, we thought this thing was behind us. Now it's not. This week, we'll get a reading of just how that's weighing on us from Westpac, which conducted its survey just as Melbourne was going back into lockdown. And as you know, we're already seeing some pushback from business leaders against any further hard lockdowns. They say they simply can't cope with this sort of stop-start economy. So that's something that government, state and federal will also have to contend with going forward.
Okay. I mean, it does mean you think the federal government will have to keep spending to prop up the economy through this period. But how?
Well, that's right. Look, it really has no choice. Today, the government is handing out a second round of $750 stimulus checks to around 5 million aged pensioners and low-income earners. Now, that was pledged way back in mid-March at the beginning of the pandemic, when the government thought an $8 billion spend would get it through this crisis. Well, we now spend $12 billion every month just on JobKeeper payments. But the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, has confirmed there will be, quote, another phase of income support beyond September. What form that will take, we won't know until the release of the economic statement on July 23, Thursday week. But it seems pretty clear to everybody that wage subsidies will continue in some form, at least for the hardest hit sectors, like particularly hospitality in Melbourne, which is now on its knees. I spoke earlier with Shane Oliver about this. He's the chief economist at AMP Capital.
It is worth bearing in mind that the government does have the flexibility to do that, because they saved $60 billion or thereabouts on JobKeeper, and that money, I think, can be used for additional stimulus beyond the September quarter, which I think we will see. I don't know what form it will precisely come. JobKeeper looks like it's going to be extended for some industries, but it may also come in the form of tax cuts or more industry assistance programs. But I think whatever it will be, we're not going to have a fiscal cliff at the end of the September quarter. It's more likely to be a fiscal slope.
But given the length of this crisis, are we not getting to a point where no amount of government support will save some businesses or prevent a lot of workers from losing their jobs? There will have to be a reckoning at some point, won't there?
I think there's no doubt here that the coronavirus situation, the longer it drags on, the greater the reality that more jobs will not come back, because businesses won't have been able to survive that period. And of course, the longer it drags on, the more Australians will change their spending behaviour, and more businesses will be looking to cut costs. So yeah, it does make sense at some point for the government to switch away from a JobKeeper arrangement towards something which is more longer term, because there's no point keeping people in jobs that have no longer term viability. I don't know that we're at that point yet. I think that's somewhere down the track. But I think there is a reality that the government will have to shift away from wage subsidies to some other arrangement to support employment, particularly in industries which won't fully come back.
Josh Frydenberg has put on the table, as you said, the option of bringing forward personal tax cuts. Is that the right policy measure right now, when tax revenue is shrinking and debt is rising?
It is worth bearing in mind that the first tranche of the tax cuts that were scheduled to take effect from July 1, 2022, do focus more on lower income earners. And that's important because lower income earners have a lower savings rate. When you give them a break in terms of the tax that they pay or increase the low income tax offset, which was the plan, then more of that money will be spent than if you give the money to higher income earners. But whether you call it tax cuts or wage subsidies, it all blows out the budget deficit. But I think the reality is we have more pressing concerns, particularly given that the government can borrow for 10 years at 0.85%, they can borrow for 3 years at 0.25%. I don't really think that the increase in the budget deficit is the major concern at this point in time.
That's Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP Capital. Cheryl, true, but people are watching their assets being hit and confidence being hit, and it's all for the Treasurer to try and deal with this in a few weeks' time. We'll be speaking to Josh Frydenberg after 7:30. Turning to the share market, Cheryl, it fell last week, but sentiment is soaring in Australia's fledgling tech sector. Why?
Yeah, well, the tech sector, the publicly listed tech sector, is having a great crisis, actually, Fran. The ASX 200 tech index has gained 57% since April.
Wow.
Compared to 13% rebound for the broader share market. It's been led by the incredible comeback of the buy now, pay later platform, Afterpay. I'm just getting my head around that. Afterpay's shares fell as low as $8.90 in March, but last week they hit a new high of $76, and it hasn't even made a profit yet. That's a bit of a badge of honour in the tech sector. The question is, are we seeing another tech bubble like the dot-com bubble that burst 20 years ago? Look, everybody tells me this time is different, not least because the internet is not a new thing anymore. We're all shifting to digital shopping and communication, and the coronavirus has only...
And that's happened so quickly and so intensely for everyone during
the coronavirus. Coronavirus has actually served to hasten that shift. Yep. So, you know, who heard of Zoom or used it, you know, before... this year. But look, it's also being fueled by, we should say, the flood of cheap money into the market. That's encouraged kind of newbie investors to take risks in the market, which is a bit worrying. So look, I'd have to say it could still all end in tears.
Okay. Well, still, right now, they're on the way up. What's the outlook for the market? Speaking of markets, what's the outlook for the market this morning, Cheryl?
Well, look, as I said, the market did fall 2.3% last week, and that was due to, you know, the lockdown in Victoria, all these woes. The ASX 200 futures trading, though, is pointing to a strong rise this morning of around 1.6%, and that follows a strong lead from Wall Street on Friday. The trading, though, could be derailed, as I said, by a poor consumer sentiment reading on Wednesday. The markets are also hoping for a strong rebound in jobs when the June labour market report comes out on Thursday, so that will be particularly watched. We should see some form of rebound, about 100,000 jobs, but we could still see the unemployment rate tick up to 7.5% or so. Okay. Meanwhile, the Aussie dollar is defying the doom and gloom. It's buying 69.5 US cents and 61.5 euro cents, Fran.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our senior business correspondent.